Hawaii is woefully short of homes at all levels for the current and projected demand. You know that part, and you've known it for a long time. The need is especially acute at the affordable level. Affordable meaning what average or low-income buyers or renters can afford. And often, as we have talked about many times, that's a moving target. A 52-unit development is scheduled to be built on the Waianae Coast, and while the addition of 52 units is welcome, can they be made affordable, given the criticism of real estate analyst Ricky Cassaday, who has made the point that expensive, not affordable, should be the word applied to the Waianae Coast?
Well, what I've said about the Waianae Coast applies to the island as well as the state. The simple fact of economics is supply and demand. Limited supply. And what's happened since we've talked 15 years ago is that the internet has made it all that much more easier for people to want to live in Hawaii, visit Hawaii, enjoy the quality of life, and you just have that much more demand with that much less supply. Now, supply has generic problems. It starts with no land, but also the high cost of production, lack of labor, that sort of thing. And then right in between is an important component, which is your incomes, your local average incomes, your wages, your wealth, that sort of thing. And then the level of that has been growing at a rate that is less than the rate of price appreciation in housing or shelter. So as this has gone on over the generations, more and more people are less and less advantaged and less capable of attaining shelter.
So when we hear from Governor Ige that affordable housing has to be one of the cornerstones of our existence, is this in fact something where we can get not just ahead of the curve, but just start running at the curve?
Well, the impressive thing really is that the governor and the mayor and the legislature, they've all taken this to heart. And prior to this, the media was paying more and more attention over last year. You could see that coming out. And preceding that, of course, was a homeless problem. And so it's begun to snowball or it coalesce. And I will tell everybody that I should be very encouraged by what everybody at all levels of government is saying. The proof is in the pudding. Next question will be, well, can they achieve it? Which is, well, they need to coordinate themselves. They also need to lay aside some of their parochial prerogatives.
And what do you mean when you say parochial prerogatives?
Well, I mean, the city has a number of things that is vital to the provision of housing, such as sewer and roads and that sort of thing. The state actually has more money. It can raise money. State also has more land than the city does. And the golden opportunity in front of us is to take public land, city and state having more, and put affordable housing on it in a way that is that contributes positively to the society, not just in welfare, but also economically. I would like to see housing done by the public agencies, all of them, state, federal, city, in a way that the private sector does it, which is simply to say, over 30 years, 50 years, the private sector has made money in real estate, in residential market. Why can't the public do the same thing in partnership with private business?
Senator Willis Sparrow has been asking that question, too. And this session was floating a bill that would float bonds to be able to make affordable housing happen. At this point, do you see where that is a viable strategy?
Oh, it's a key strategy if you address the key chokehold on housing, which is infrastructure. You can't put anything up if you don't have sewer capacity or water capacity. And one of the things that is a huge failure and it has put on the brakes for more housing across the board, from affordable rental all the way up to luxury, is, you know, the number of sewer hookups and how we process, you know, how we process our waste in our life and make this sustainable. And so I'm thrilled that a bond would do that, because the concept would be you remove the stranglehold, the chokehold, and you allow more housing to be built. And almost all housing, except for public rental housing, is somewhat profitable across the board. At the very minimum, it gives us our property taxes. Of course, when you build the thing, you know, there's a lot of construction jobs and GET goes up. But in aftermath, you get property taxes and you get jobs and incomes that are tied to servicing already constructed buildings.
We talk about affordable housing. We use that term. But hearing things like, well, for a single person, you need to be making almost $100,000 to be able to afford a basic place in Hawaii, or for a family of four, maybe $140,000, $132,000, somewhere in there, that seems to be so out of reach for most people. Are we really talking affordable housing?
Well, no, you're absolutely right. I hear this over and over and over from children. They say, that's not affordable, Dad, and I have to agree with you. It's the way that the system works, though, that is important to at least grasp. Again, it's the fact that incomes, median incomes or otherwise, haven't risen as fast as property appreciation. So, again, the gap opens up. So what do? The classic and probably the tried and tested true way of achieving affordability in housing is to reduce the cost by taking money from somewhere else. Now, at the very low end of the affordability spectrum, public housing, you need a lot of money because not a lot of revenue is coming in. At the very top end of the housing ladder would be luxury, wherein you get a ton of money and you've built it for less, so therefore you have a profit margin. And so the historic thing ever since the 70s has been you get market units to cross-subsidize the affordable units. So it's a Robin Hood principle. And it has been working, except that as it went along, a gap opened up in between the two sides of housing, the high end and the low end. And the gap was what they call the workforce housing. These guys weren't advantaged in any way by that cross-subsidization of market to affordable. And so basically the hole opened up. The workforce isn't making enough money. And the way that the AMI structure is done, it's a fairly rigid structure, and it's full of rules, and you have to adhere to them. And basically the net of it is that there's no kind of give and take. And when there's no give and take in housing, since it's such an expensive proposition and risky, if it doesn't get built, it just doesn't get built, and the next generation suffers for that. And that's been going on for a long time.
How do you make it better?
Well, I would take what we have. You've got a couple really big consistencies. We have the best quality of life in the world, and people want to move here, and that's why we have demand. If you manage the demand in a way that it benefits all the people of Hawaii, particularly the ones that need support, that's my basic model. And then if you overlay that with transportation, the thing of the rail, you have all these rail stations, you have an opportunity to build affordable housing, high rises, and maybe mix it in with some market unit stuff so that basically you can build a lot of units. Let me say simply this. 1 in 5 families in the state needs public rental housing assistance. That's 20% of us. We have something like 5,000 to 10,000 public rental units, and we have a need of over 60,000. So, I mean, there's just a ton of people out there.
If we just look at this year, Willis Barrow's bill is still alive. It's with Ways and Means. Are you hopeful that this is going to be something that we'll see pass this year?
I don't believe the run-up. I've seen at the end of last session, Jill Takota, Ways and Means, and a couple other legislatures really made a push and did so in a way that I thought, they really get it. They're going to try. And even if, America's great on man on the moon goals, this is a man on the moon goal across the board, but something's going to come out of it and something productive. And there's enough common sense and simplicity in what they're attacking, the infrastructure, that sort of thing. And again, we've got to do the rail. That's kind of the headliner here. But I'd like to turn it around, and it's not TOD that's important, but DOT, which stands for Development-Oriented Transit. I always thought that Hawaii didn't need, on a big basis, a faster commute from outside in as much as they needed shelter. And the shelter thing has just grown and grown and grown. That's why I'm optimistic.
And on that note, I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Hawaii real estate analyst Ricky Cassaday is principal of Data at Work. He analyzes real estate market trends and produces project feasibility and long-range planning studies for developers, landowners, investors, and public housing agencies in Hawaii and Asia. We talked late last week.